WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. President Biden will visit with striking auto workers in Wayne, Michigan later today. He thinks they deserve a raise. WBBM-TV reporter Sharda Gray spoke with striking GM and Stellantis workers who are pushing for more money.
Auto workers say they're not asking for anything out of line.
The end goal is to end tiered wages, bring back cost of living allowance that we used to have. You know, we're fighting for other things, pensions, those were taken away. There's job security issues.
Steve Greger says he's worked in the auto industry for more than two decades. He's had to work two to three jobs just to make ends meet.
I'm making less per hour than I was 23 years ago. What's wrong with that picture?
Former President Trump will be in Michigan on Wednesday. SAG-AFTRA, that's the union that represents striking movie and television actors, says its members have voted 98% in favor of authorizing a strike now against video game makers. It doesn't mean there will be a strike, but it gives permission to strike if talks with the video game makers break down. The focus is now on those actors after writers came to a tentative deal with producers. KCBS-TV's Jeff Nguyen with more.
The striking actors union is still fighting for a new contract.
So a lot of people might kind of hold back, or what you could say, slow walk their way back to work to just make sure SAG-AFTRA get the best deal possible they can with all the leverage they can.
They were walking with us long before they officially went on strike. And so, of course, it's only right for us to do the same for them.
Residents of Lahaina in Maui are headed home weeks after deadly wildfires ravaged the area. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
So many people that we have spoken with have returned home to, in many cases, no home at all. In some cases, loved ones lost. But what has been incredible, everyone that we have spoken with, from homeowners to business owners, have told us not only do they intend to remain here in town, but to also rebuild.
The inferno killed almost 100 people. El Nino conditions are expected to prevail into next year. From Sacramento, KOVR-TV reporter Ashley Nanfia.
This year's El Nino is forecast to be on the stronger side, with abnormally warm sea surface temperatures in the Pacific Ocean, leading to higher chances of cool and wet weather in the southwest, and warmer and drier weather in the northwest.
Separatists in Nagorno-Karabakh say at least 20 people have been killed and nearly 300 others injured by an explosion at a gas station. Thousands of people who live in the region are fleeing now to Armenia. No grand prize winner in last night's Powerball drawing. The jackpot now an estimated $835 million. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Now, can you hear Mr. Zomers? All right, very good. That's on the road equipment.
You should start again.
Take two, Mr. Zomers. Here we go. Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. On location here at beautiful Chippewa Falls, our brand new station up here, WCFW, The Tap, along with the host of Up North News across the Civic Media Radio Network every morning from 6 until 8, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. How are you?
Welcome up north.
Turn your mic on. I'm not an engineer. There you go.
Welcome up north, buddy. How are you?
Well, you know, we're okay. I wanted to get on the road a little bit. I wanted to come up here and see you. And here's the main reason I came up, everybody, because Pat and I were together last down in south of Milwaukee at an education conference. And he lost, or he just forgot his water bottle. Yeah. And so here, Pat, I'm bringing it to you in person.
That is quite a carbon footprint. A carbon footprint indeed, to return a water bottle that I'm not using up a lot of plastic bottles. But I appreciate that.
But the gas I spent to get here.
I know. To come here to our threadbare little studio here in Chippewa Falls, which is why when you often hear Aaron says,
"Yeah, you have to eat that mic." I think
I'll get as close to the
that's,
mic.
Oh, see, that's perfect. Possible. It makes you sound very sexy.
Good. Now turn down my headphones. Because I'm deaf.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, Pat continues. The Lake Wissota studio is run literally out of Pat's home on the lake, because the studio here downtown in beautiful Chippewa Falls is still a tad under construction. But when it's done, it's going to be a marvel of broadcast engineering. But right now, we are absolutely stupefied at what you have been able to construct here in about 8 minutes. Pulling odds and ends out of your pickup truck, you have MacGyvered a radio studio for the first time here.
Right? Not bad. And here's the guy holding down the fort up here, James Kelly, a brand new news anchor and reporter here at WCFW in Eau Claire. You can hear him every day up here doing the news across the north. Can I say Northwestern, since we're just above Highway 29?
Yes, you may.
All right, very good. Pat's giving me the okay to say that here in Eau Claire. 93.5 FM is where you can catch James every day doing the news. James, how the heck are you?
That's my first real introduction since I've gotten here. Because, you know, I just do the newscasts.
Right.
So I just say, this is Civic Media News. I'm James Kelly. This is the first time I've gotten to stretch my legs a little bit, talk a little bit.
Well,
let's give him a real introduction.
All right, well, there's some applause.
Less Nesman-worthy one. Now, from 93.5, The Tap. The blowtorch of the Northwest, James Kelly.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I'll tell you what, if I knew I was going to be on a live stream when I came to work today, yeah, I would not have worn the Bills shirt. I would have gone out. I would have bought a Packers shirt.
But you're from New York, right? You're a New Yorker? Is that what you're
saying? I am a New Yorker. Yeah, I'm from New York. I've been out here in Wisconsin about a month. So far, so good. Chippewa Falls, beautiful little town. We got this nice studio right here on the second floor. I can look out over the main street, get to see everything going on downtown. Not a whole lot. It's a slow town. I'll say that.
Right.
Not a bunch happens in Chippewa Falls, but it is a nice town with some nice people.
I'm right here. I'm sitting right here as he's telling me nothing's happening around here.
Pat Kreitlow's been happening for years here.
I can wave and people will honk and they'll say, we never liked you. There's always something happening here.
Everybody's a Pat Kreitlow celebrity, you know.
Yes. The Liney Lodge is just a few blocks up the road here. There's the new Chippewa History Center, which even I haven't been to yet. Newly constructed.
Really?
I got to get up there.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Then the big city is just a couple of miles south of here, down in old Eau Claire.
I was there last night. That's, in fact, where we were going to do the show. Long story short, it didn't happen. But I'm happy we're here.
The short story is Todd Alba tried to be a homeless broadcaster using electrical outlets that don't really exist, and I was afraid he was going to MacGyver that too, and then we would have had a fried host. So I'm glad.
I just did get back from Denver, so you know, talk about a fried host.
No, not even that kind. To just try to use electrical outlets that you're not familiar with, I worry about you. You shouldn't be trying to do that kind of thing.
Well, you know, I take a risk, right? That's why, as my former broadcast partner Kevin O'Connor used to say, great potential for disaster. You know, it could go either way.
You are high risk, high reward for us over here. So, James, the highlight of your Chippewa Falls time, do you have a favorite watering hole yet, a favorite restaurant?
Ooh, there's a few. I did the first weekend kind of tour around Chippewa Falls. Let's, you know, have a drink here, have a drink there, get some food here, do the whole little tour. I am excited to get out to Leinenkugel's now that the strike is over, because it just so happens that summer shandies, we get those in New York, and I quite enjoy them. So I'm looking forward to getting it from the source.
Well, very cool. And quickly, just about a minute or so, what was your broadcast experience before you came here?
Yeah, I worked in sports for a few years, just doing some podcasting, some writing. And then I went up to Binghamton, New York, did some news up there, and worked with their local minor league baseball team that's a Mets affiliate.
Oh, cool.
So I got to do a little bit more sports while I was up there in Binghamton. Stayed there about a year, and now I'm out here.
We're very nervous because the Brewers' former GM David Stern went to the Mets, and we're afraid that they're going to steal away Craig Counsell.
Oh, I don't know about that. Craig Counsell, he likes the Brewers. It's a good team.
A free agent.
Like Counsell.
He's a free agent, Pat.
Which I think is Counsell just, you know, trying to work it, try to get the best deal that he can. But I think ultimately he's going to stay. But hey, always nice to have a plan B, even if it is, you know, Syracuse or New York.
We're going to talk about the Brewers, Rowdy Tellez, a little bit later on the show. Come back and talk top headlines. But James Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the Civic Media family. We appreciate you being up here. People can listen to you every day on the news right here. Here at WCFW.
Yes, thanks for not hiding the key. Appreciate that.
All right, stay tuned, everybody. Live on location at WCFW in Chippewa Falls on Player with Pat Kreitlow. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain and rumbles into the overnight. Clouds and temperatures down to 60 degrees with east winds of 5 to 15. Some of the rain locally heavy in spots. On Tuesday, showers and storms will be likely. Clouds and 66 in the late day. Continued chance of showers early Tuesday night. Currently 62 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location in beautiful Chippewa Falls, just north of Highway 29. So Pat Quietlow says I can say I'm up north. It is WCFW, the tap here in beautiful Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. Can we say the Chippewa Valley? Is that fair to say?
Chippewa Valley would be way to go. And thanks. Thank you, Aaron, for a little Stevie Ray Vaughan in there, helping me feel very welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. 93.5 is where you can hear all your favorite shows on Civic Media, including Up North News every morning from 6 until 8 with Pat. And, of course, so we thank James Kelly, our new news reporter and anchor up here in northwest Wisconsin, doing a great job for us, and nice to have him on the show.
Yep, very much so, yeah, and good to see Aaron again, too. Aaron, did you get the little thing I left you down there at the studio when I was there on Friday?
Yes, I did. I'm going and grabbing it.
He waited. Oh, wow. Look at that. Pat gave me a little gift.
Pat said that he left something for me by your desk. And I was like, I wonder what that could be. And it's not one, but two of the Wisconsin Supper Club books by Ron Faiola, the nice coffee table books
Well, that's fantastic.
Aaron mentioned a few weeks back that he didn't have them and that he'd like to go get them someday. So I made a little note and thought that would make a nice little gift for him. So I'm
that's very nice of you, Pat.
He gets around. I hope he takes you out now and then.
We'll see.
I know he's going to go with his roommates, but why wouldn't he take some of the radio folks around?
Might as well. Yeah.
Well, we should. Wouldn't it be fun? We should do a couple of shows from a supper club. You ever done that in your broadcasting career?
No, I'd like to. Aaron, what do you think? You want to pick one at random, or are you going to do a little research for us?
Maybe I'll have to do a little research, and we can maybe do. Maybe we can pick two and do one episode of Up North News Radio with all of us there, and then one episode of the Todd Albaugh Show with all of us at a different one.
Now, if you could find a supper club open at 6 in the morning.
I'm willing to pre-record. I'm willing to do a special after-dark version of Up North News Radio.
That would be kind of interesting, Up North News at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Yes, that'd be fine. We would just call it an old-fashioned edition of Up North News Radio. Hope you see what I did.
That's fantastic. Well, welcome back to the show. We're great. Lovely to be here up in the northwest Wisconsin in Chippewa Falls and in Eau Claire as well. Pat Kreitlow joins us this hour. Pat, not a slow news weekend and a little bizarre on several accounts. I want to get to this story. I joined Jay Matinier and Greg Bach this morning. Of course, our friend and colleague, Kristen Bry, starting her maternity leave, expecting their first child. She and her husband this week. Again, congratulations to them. But Jane and I talked about this a little bit. We touched on it on Friday. And Bob Menendez, Democrat in the U.S. Senate, caught with $400,000 in cash in a Senate jacket and gold bullion, literally gold bars, indicted by the Justice Department. Anybody who said that, quote unquote, Joe Biden is weaponizing the DOJ against Republicans, well, they just went after one of their own. As a former Democratic lawmaker, what's just your knee-jerk reaction to this?
Well, first off, let's talk about low-hanging fruit. I mean, Bob Menendez was acquitted solely by nature of a hung jury 8 months ago. So folks already knew that he was a bad dude. They already knew he was in legal hot water when the jury was hung. I think a lot of Democrats thought, oh man, we're going to have to deal with this guy a little longer. Thankfully, he couldn't stop criming, and so now he's facing charges again. And as I noted on my show this morning, it would be a really good idea for more Senate Democrats really soon to say, you got to go.
Right.
Because the longer they put off saying those words, the more ammunition they give to people who are defending and enabling Trump.
correct me if I'm wrong, the only major Democratic elected official so far to call for his resignation outright is the Democratic governor of New Jersey, who would appoint his replacement, by the way, if he stepped down, and also Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman.
Right, and I believe a New Jersey congressman has already announced that he would primary him as well. And if the list hasn't grown yet this morning, and if it doesn't grow after that abysmal press conference that he held just a little while ago to say, there's nothing wrong here. Nothing wrong. Then they're doing it wrong. Democrats, that list needs to grow. That needs to grow at Al Franken speed, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes. And that's the thing. You know, we had a couple of calls as goes Wisconsin. Look, I was a former Republican. I have voted Democratic since 2012 because I think that is the party. I'm independent. I don't belong to any party, but I believe that if on the whole, Democrats are still supporting democracy, small d, versus the Republicans. You can still be a Democratic supporter, still be all for Joe Biden, but call out corruption on the same side.
Oh, without a doubt. It's what we've been saying about Hunter Biden all this time, as if anybody was going to be rushing to defend him if he, in fact, did something wrong. And if he did, the only defense there was, again, let's see it. Let's let the courts, you know, see it. With Bob Menendez, it is there in so much more crystal clarity, you know, in the indictments that are there, that there is nothing to defend. And the fact that somebody is as high ranking as, you know, as a Dick Durbin would kind of be waffling about this is absolutely the wrong way to go about this.
Yeah, totally agree. Of course, corruption is not limited to one side of the aisle. And it was in spades on the other side this weekend. Donald Trump, apparently, a lot of time on his hands, took to his Truth Social media account, and on several tweets, one last night, lashing out against Mitch McConnell and other Republicans who aren't actively fighting to shut down the entire government. Of course, we have until the end of the week here for Congress to come to some agreement to keep government going, something that, of course, you know, continuing resolution, a CR, which is often done 30, 45 days to say, hey, let's give ourselves a cushion to work it out. The Freedom Caucus, the right-wing mega nutjob folks in the House, are saying no go, it's all or nothing. It looks like a collision course. And now Trump over the weekend said this, quote, this from Donald Trump on Truth Social. The Republicans lost big on debt ceiling, got nothing, and now are worried that they will be blamed for the budget shutdown. Wrong. Whoever is president will be blamed. In this case, Joe Biden. We went on to say our country is being systematically destroyed, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to read all that. Says the Democrat, unless you get everything, shut it down. Close the border, stop the weaponization of justice, and end election interference. We must have honest elections.
I'm sorry, a Putin puppet would say what?
Right, exactly. Pretty much.
When you're rooting for the federal government to fail and to not pay, you know, the people who defend this country, not pay, you know, the people who work so hard every day on our behalf, especially coming from a former president who, I don't know if he remembers the last government shutdown, but he shut it down over the border wall and then eventually opened up the government again and won absolutely nothing. He right. completely failed, like a lot of his business dealings. He failed at it. And he thinks, well, he assumes that many people have forgotten that. But he was a failure at budgeting. He was a failure at government shutdowns. And the only reason that he brings this up now is because, again, he can take the most extreme, frankly, the most anti-American position of shutting down the government that mails the Social Security checks out to people, you know, who will still get paid. But again, the people who are processing all of these things will not. There are plenty of businesses and then the ripple effects through local economies. None of that's going to hurt Donald Trump because he's only looking out for Donald Trump. And the people in Congress right now taking their marching orders from him are fools that way and should be focused on their constituents instead.
What do you, because if you look back at history, what Trump said, you know, the president is not going to be the one that gets blamed. I mean, if you look back at history, when you had Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton and they shut the government down, I mean, it was not good for Clinton and the Democrats.
It wasn't good, but it then, of course, Newt couldn't help but, you know, I was going to use a phrase I can't use on the radio, but he got rather full of himself over here. And that's what happens, again, when you're trying to govern through bluster rather than through policy, rather than through ideas, when you're trying to govern through the TV cameras and the microphones rather than sitting down at a table and saying what's good for the people.
And you're exactly right. And the thing is, if this goes off the cliff, we shut the government down, we got military people that aren't going to get paid. We have border security people, TSA. You think the lines are long now in flights. TSA folks, federal workers, are not going to, I shouldn't say not, but several may just stay home.
Oh, you're going to see an equivalent of blue flu. Of course you are. Yes.
And who would? I mean, that's just normal.
Mm-hmm. You would, and nobody should blame them. Now, obviously, not the ones who are in, you know, those life and death services services. But think of, say, air traffic controllers. Think how stressful their job is already, and now they're going into that stressful job every day, knowing they're not getting paid this week.
Yeah,
I don't know that I'd want to be flying with that if that was the case.
Report over the weekend from Axios. Again, these polls you kind of have to take with a grain of salt. This one from Partnership of Public Service, a poll of 1,000 folks, U.S. adults, from September 6th to the 12th of this year. According to Axios, survey points to the disarray that would ripple through the nation if there is a shutdown. Democrats, 65%, or more likely the Republicans, 46%, to say they'd personally be affected by the shutdown, according to the survey. If you read through this, Americans simply do not want the government to be shut down.
They don't, and that's an interesting statistic because, again, it tells you how many people on the conservative side of the spectrum somehow think that their day-to-day lives aren't affected by the government, when the simple fact of the matter is, from the planes that aren't colliding to the radio signals that are getting through to having the clean water that comes out of the tap and on it goes, there is so much that actually is dependent upon a functioning government. And whether Republican voters and citizens want to acknowledge that or not, it's the truth. And then when they start to feel pain, they shouldn't grow their cynicism of government and politics overall. They should grow their cynicism at the people who are actively rooting for these systems to be disrupted.
Yeah. Well, a quick note for that poll. 64% in the same poll, 64% said they do not think U.S. senators should block nominations of top officials to make a political statement, i.e. Tuberville, Republican of Alabama and Florida, as it turns out, waging this months-long war against over 200 now military appointments, wreaking havoc in the nation's security.
Right. Well, once again, it is breaking the norms, the customs, the traditions, and there were people who at once upon a time were saying, oh, yeah, we need to do that. You know, it's too stuffy, et cetera, et cetera. But no, not when it's starting to hurt the military, and when you're doing it for blatantly political purposes, which is what Tommy Tuberville is doing in this instance. Now, I will say, to be fair, and I've said this before, that just means we need to change some of the norms. It means that a Chuck Schumer has to change the rules on allowing one senator, one in the minority party, to hold things up. It is way past time to abolish or even more tightly reform the filibuster, because there are too many Americans, sadly, who don't play by the old rules anymore.
Yeah.
And to do so in a way that they don't care how much damage they cause getting there.
Want to change over to another topic, and we're going to take a break here soon. Invite your phone calls, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. When we come back, Pat and I are going to discuss these three other, and I don't mean to make the focus on Trump, but at some point you just have to call this out and face it head on. Over the weekend, Donald J. Trump, former president of the United States, leading frontrunner for the Republican nomination this time around, is vowing to go after NBC, not let them have free, quote-unquote, free airwaves. He called for the death of Mark Milley, the sitting chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and even a sitting member of Congress, Paul Gosar, from Arizona, is also calling for the death of Mark Milley, a sitting joint chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. When did violence take over the Republican Party? When did violence take over the conservative movement? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or 844-96-PARTY. You can also reach us on the Civic Media app. Download on your Apple or Android device. Don't go anywhere. Back with more on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show along with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network, live on location from WCFW in beautiful Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. President Biden will meet with striking auto workers in Detroit today. He thinks they should get a raise.
I think the UAW gave up an incredible amount back when and part of the global industry was going under. Think of everything from the pensions on, and they saved the automobile industry.
The government will shut down in less than a week unless Congress approves a budget. CBS's Scott McFarland says a former president is now weighing in.
Donald Trump posted on his Truth Social account that Republicans should block any deal that doesn't defund an awful lot of things, including Jack Smith's prosecution of Donald Trump.
Forecasters say El Nino will affect the country through next year. KOVR-TV reporter Ashley Nanfia is in Sacramento, California.
Warmer waters create an active jet stream over the southern U.S., leading to higher chances of cool and wet weather in the southwest and warmer and drier weather in the northwest during the winter.
CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
It was like a week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, along with Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, every morning from 6 until 8. We are live on location on this Monday here at WCFW, the Tap in beautiful Chippewa Falls, and Eau Claire as well, the Chippewa Valley. And Pat, before we get into the news that's a little bit heavier here, I want to take a minute just to, I have not been in Chippewa Falls in fully 20 years. My sister and brother-in-law live in Eau Claire. I get up there, you know, a couple, three times a year. And one of the reasons I'm here is to do the show in our new station here, but also we're going to see Garrison Keillor tonight at the new Pablo Center. This is a spectacular venue for civic arts. And anybody who hasn't been to Chippewa Falls, Chippewa Valley, you need to get up here because, as the kids would say, I think they still say this, things are popping.
Things really are, especially at the Pablo Center, which also is known as the Confluence, where the Eau Claire River flows into the Chippewa River in downtown Eau Claire. It was a project quite literally decades in the making. And now you have a regional arts center of great renown. I was there last Thursday night to see Kathleen Madigan, one of my favorite comedians. I know Bruce Hornsby is going to be appearing there at some point soon. So plenty of good name, big name acts that previously could not come to the Chippewa Valley because there wasn't this kind of a facility. You know, we always looked at the La Crosse Arena enviously. I know from covering county board meetings as a junior, you know, Cub reporter back in the day, there was just a contingent of people that did not want an arena. Eventually, through a lot of private donations and lots of other work, you had this whole Confluence project start to come together. It needed some help from the legislature, you know, Fiserv Forum, American Family Field, things like that. You want to promote venues, the arts, things like that. And yes, now you have something, you have a real destination for the entire Chippewa Valley. And as far as you getting to Chippewa Falls, again, you know, next time there's the Oktoberfest a couple of weeks back, the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. No shortage of reasons for you to get up here. And we never did get that show done on the pontoon this summer. There's always next year.
Always next year. I mean, this is a beautiful area. You've lived up here, you and your family. You represented this area in the legislature. You worked in television here for several years. As you go down the street, and people say, there's Pat Kreitlow. But
it's usually more like, oh, there's Pat Kreitlow. But yes.
But it's a great part of the state, and you're only, what, an hour and 20 minutes from the Twin Cities?
Yeah. So if you wanted to, and I've mentioned going to, you know, the Minnesota State Fair is closer than the Wisconsin State Fair. People will go to Target Field for, a baseball game as well. So, I mean, you're quite literally right on the fringe of the Twin Cities Metro, which is why another story that we've been following here for, again, literally decades, is about rail. And getting passenger rail service between Eau Claire and the Twin Cities. Everybody looks at that I-94 congestion, you know, between Milwaukee and Chicago.
Right
behind it is the amount of congestion on I-94 between Eau Claire and the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And so you're looking for ways to alleviate that, the kinds of things that would have been done by now had some Scott Walker guy not come and blowed up everything.
As Jesse Jackson once said, keep hope alive.
That's right.
So keep hope alive.
That we got hope, and we got a whole lot of people working behind the scenes to improve the lives of people in the Chippewa Valley.
So that's the having fun doing it part. Now let's pursue some truth here a little bit.
You pursued the truth all the way here.
All the way to
the intersection
Chippewa
of Bridge and Grand, you know, kitty corner from the Mason Shoe Outlet. That's great.
It's beautiful up here. Three stories I want to get to here in this segment. And again, invite your feelings on this. Where did the Republican Party, when did it kind of take this violent turn, this mega, actually literally calling for violence? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I want to start, quite frankly, with Trump himself. Over the weekend, he accused the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, sitting Joint Chairman of the Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, of treason on Friday, and said that he would have been put to death, quote, in times gone by as punishment. What say you? 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Dick back in Madison. Dick, appreciate you holding and listening in. What say you?
Well, first of all, real quickly to Menendez, George Conway said this morning, all he needs to really do is switch the Republican Party. You know, he'd only have that one indictment, right? I mean, he's perfect fit.
Got a point.
I don't see any lie there. Yep.
No, but real quickly to this dysfunction, too, in the present Republican Party, I finally figured out why they're so fixated on Trump. And they can't go anywhere else, and they won't go anywhere else. Their own people now in the House are referring to this as a circus, just a total circus, several of them, a clown car, a clown show. Mm-hmm. Well, who's better suited to be the clown, the head clown, or the circus ringleader than Donald Trump? They're not looking for a president. They're looking for a ringleader. And then this nonsense of Biden, you know, supposedly should drop out or should have stepped aside or should say, wouldn't that be catamount to just saying I'm a lame duck for the last year he's president? And if he would have said that at the beginning of his presidency, I'm only a bridge, I guess he said that or something like that. But if he did, do that at the beginning, nothing would have gotten done this last 3.5 years.
Yeah. Dick, appreciate the call as always. Dick from Madison, thanks so much. Pat Kreitler, what's to you?
Well, the point is extremely well taken. And again, I mentioned on the on our show this morning, people that are saying, "Oh, well, they're sticking with Biden for this, you know, because they've got nothing. They've got no bench." And then people quickly responded with, "All the people who are on the Democratic bench, you know, your Gretchen Whitmers, yeah, and your Gavin Newsoms, and all those other, you know, Pete Buttigieg people that are out there." Mm-hmm. We've seen the Republican bench right now. People have seen the Republican bench. They saw that first debate. Yep. They're going to see the second debate this week that Trump's going to skip again. And they're going to say, well, we better stick with Trump because that's really all we got when you look at the rest of, you know, again, this clown car. Yeah. That better to go with the, you know, the ringleader than with one of the other, you know, junior clowns, if you will.
Well, and you know, we can go down this list. We've done this before on this show. I know you've done it. If you look at the accomplishments in the 3 years of Joe Biden, mm-hmm, it's extraordinary. I mean, unemployment is at historic lows. He's created more jobs than any president in the last 50 years. Inflation is coming down faster than any other democratic country in the world. You go on and on. The infrastructure bill led by Pete Buttigieg, bringing literally millions of dollars into places like Wisconsin. There is a track record of getting things done. And look, Donald Trump is, what, 2.5 years younger, quote unquote? So it's not like they're running a spring chicken here. No. You know, so I mean, this whole narrative, oh my gosh, you know, and look at Donald Trump's fat rear end playing golf compared to Joe Biden on a Trek bike doing, I mean, there's just no comparison, Pat.
And it's about getting the work done. And that's ultimately what made Tony Evers successful as well. Again, much like Joe Biden, not dynamic, but that's what voters eventually want, is they want who does the work, right, who's getting things done. That's what Biden's going to be able to point to next time around. But because we're not at that point yet, we're still at the, you know, are they too old and are they this and are they that? As you get closer to crunch time, the voters are going to say, wait, who's actually getting work done here? And, you know, Biden's point that he likes to make is, you know, Trump, it was a running joke having infrastructure week.
Yeah.
And now they're going to have an infrastructure decade.
Right.
Just based on one of Biden's accomplishments.
Right. What do you think about this? The Republican Party, the current iteration of it, going this violent route, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Certainly invite your phone calls, your comments, and if you'd like to ask Pat a question or myself, either one, invite you in. Pat, again, getting back to this tweet on Truth Social by Trump, I'm not going to read the entire thing, but in part, this is a direct quote over the weekend from Donald Trump. Quote, Mark Milley, who led perhaps the most embarrassing moment in American history with his grossly incompetent implementation of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, costing many lives, blah, 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 will be leaving military next week. This will be a time for all citizens of the USA to celebrate. It turned out that Milley turned out to be a woke train wreck who, if the fake news media reporting is correct, was actually dealing with China to give them a heads up on the thinking of the President of the United States. This is an act so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death. And it goes on.
I just wondered, when he put that in, do you use Google Translate from the original right, Russian to put it in there? Right. Or did he come up with that in English first? I don't know where the first draft came from. But, you know, regardless, it is just, again, an attempt to throw anything at the wall to try to get people to forget that Mark Milley was among those folks in those very dark days around, you know, before and after January 6th. Reminding us that somebody was not fit for office, somebody was not accepting the will of the voters, and somebody was willing to do great danger to American democracy and to Americans themselves. Had he been just a skosh more successful in his plans, Americans would have died because of the violence. Right now, you know, there were deaths at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, but there would have been so many more, and Trump would have welcomed that, frankly, for a guy who started his campaign. This all began, to answer your original question, at a rally where he made some comment about, yeah, you know, beat that guy up. More of these guys ought to get beat up. He started the Jerry Springer method of campaign rallies, and people who equate politics with, you know, all-star wrestling and reality talk shows shouldn't be surprised that they're embracing more violence. They think it's They think it's just all for show, like it is on wrestling and reality TV.
Much of this from Millie coming in from this great article. If you haven't read it, check it out in The Atlantic coming out, talking about Mark Milley, who is set to retire at the end of this month or leave office. And then they finally confirmed the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But to answer Trump's thing here, to your point, this was Mark Milley contacting his counterpart in China after the election of 2020, because there was a narrative out there that Trump was going to use nuclear weapons, perhaps, against China and Russia just to make a situation so they could stay in office longer. This is Milley calling his counterpart saying, look, this guy is cuckoo birds, my words, not his, but hold in there, you know, this is not what America's military wants to do.
It's exactly what needed to be done at a time where, again, terrible things could have been contemplated by a guy who, by the way, stole nuclear secrets and stored them in cardboard boxes in Mar-a-Lago. This is somebody who continues to elude the justice that would have been given instantly to anybody else who did what he's done with national secrets.
Off the text line, WMDX, this is Angie from Monroe texting in saying, quote, I am for Biden, but we need to hit it in the pocketbook. We need groceries to go down to all the other stuff that doesn't matter to the average day person, sometimes especially those Trump folks. Again, I'm for Biden, and I think he's doing a great job. I was surprised.
Inflation is, in fact, going to be a real issue here. And the difference, and this will be the tough thing to message to voters, is those who will just say on the Republican side, inflation, grr, versus what you'll hear from Democrats. Yeah, inflation, it's been rough. Here's what we've been doing to try to fight it. And if folks listen to what has been done and what is coming down, then they're going to lean toward Joe Biden. If all they hear is inflation, grr, and that's what they want to hear, they don't think anything can work anyway, then they're going to embrace, you know, whoever the Republican candidate is in that debate about inflation. But yeah, it's going to be real. You've got to acknowledge it, and you've got to say, here are the things we've done, here are the things that we're willing to do, and then get that Republican candidate to say, what are you willing to do after you go, grr, yeah, what do you stand for?
Right. What do you stand for? The looniness is not reserved just for Trump. Representative Congressman Paul Gosar, Republican of Arizona, published a shockingly violent and homophobic tirade against General Mark Milley, suggesting that George Sherman should be put to death. This is just absolutely, this is the guy that went after AOC, of course, and got
right.
In trouble.
Yeah, can I interrupt you? They say it's not shocking.
Right.
It's not shocking. He's an absolute clown, and I know we've overused the word this hour, but he is. He's an absolute clown. His entire family ran ads saying to the voters in his district, please don't vote for this guy. Right. But there's enough, again, Jerry Springer watchers out there from back in the day who, you know, still continue to embrace this the way they embrace Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and all the rest. They embrace this guy. They keep sending him back. And when you have the privilege, as he does, to be able to communicate in this way, you can only for so long kind of ignore it and set it to the side. And at some point, people like you got to bring it up.
We're going to come back in a moment, have a cut on a retired general responding to Representative Gosar and Trump on Mark Milley. Also, I have a cut of Rowdy Tellez, Pat, who did a little pitching over
my
the weekend.
New favorite pitcher, your future Cy Young Award winner, Rowdy Tellez.
Don't go anywhere. We are live on location here at beautiful Chippewa Falls, WCFW, The Tap, here in northwestern Wisconsin. Pat Kreitler, Tal Albaugh. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been the
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain and rumbles into the overnight. Clouds and temperatures down to 60 degrees with east winds of 5 to 15. Some of the rain locally heavy in spots. On Tuesday, showers and storms will be likely. Clouds and 66 in the late day. Continued chance of showers early Tuesday night. Currently 59 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to the Tell 'Em All Show, along with Pat Kreitlow of Up North News. We are, in fact, up north here in WCFW, the TEP
93.5. There you go.
The old dyslexia. There we are. 93.5. Thank you very much, Pat. Appreciate it. Appreciate it being here. We're on location. Glad to be here in northern Wisconsin. Before the break, talking a little bit about these comments from the cuckoo bird that is Representative Paul Gosar, Republican of Arizona. I want to read you a couple of lines. This is directly from him. He says, quote, talking about Milley, but even after the approval was given, General Milley, the homosexual promoting BLM, be it, in other words, Black Lives Matter, activist chairman of the Military Joint Chiefs of Staff, delayed doing what he was supposed to do. Of course, we now know that the deviant Milley was coordinating with Nancy Pelosi, and it goes on to talk about that. And then later on, it says that he, again, calling for the death of Mark Milley. And this is something that, I mean, as a former Republican for 30 years, never saw this kind of stuff until you got into the Trump era here. I think it's sick, but don't take my word for it. Appearing on CNN last night on Bob Acosta's show, a retired Lieutenant General Mark Harding, or Hartling, rather, had these words to say about Mr. Gosar and Trump.
Yeah, a different sort of battlefield, isn't it, Jim? You know, this... Yeah. Proposed violence by any political figure is disgusting, shows how deeply disturbed both of these individuals are, and both of their rants, not just the tweet you showed from Representative Gosar, but his delivered statement to the press was sexist, racist, vile, and it just shows the extent to which these kinds of things have become commonplace and not condemned in our divided country. It's not the first time for either one of these individuals. Gosar in 2021 was censured from the House and removed from his committee because he threatened, or he posted a video of him killing Alexander Ocasio-Cortez and attacking President Biden. It continues, yeah. And it really needs to be stopped, Jim. This is just serious business, and I'm condemning it if no one else does.
I messed up with Bob Acosta before in the cut there is Jim, actually. I apologize for that. But Pat, this is a retired, again, these aren't leftist, progressives, Democrats saying these are retired military officials speaking out now because this is just unprecedented.
It is. And it is now incumbent upon people to not put themselves above day-to-day politics. When the language gets to be like this, you need to speak up.
Yeah, and it's time that be called out. And I'm embarrassed that not more Republicans are stepping up and calling out these calls for violence in the Republican Party.
And they should be asked all the time when your local congressman, yes, when your local legislator, you know, has that town hall or what have you, is to say, what do you think of this? And try not to let them get away with going, oh, well, you know, that's just, no, get them to really comment on it because it's serious.
Want to flip the script just for a second before we let you go. I appreciate Pat Kreitlow being here in hour number one. I have my Milwaukee Brewers baseball cap on today. The Brewers over the weekend sewed up not the Central Division yet. That could come as early as tonight. But they sewed up a postseason appearance over the weekend with a great 16-1 victory over the Miami, used to be the Florida Marlins. And it was a heck of a game. The Brewers scored, what, like 12 runs in the second inning, something like that?
It was a beautiful. Yeah, 12-run second inning, that's right.
It ended up being 16-1. And what they did, Craig Counsell, ends up putting Rowdy Tellez, the longtime first baseman. Rowdy Tellez goes to the mound and pitches the last, in a shutout, ninth inning.
To help clinch a playoff spot, something that you've never seen from a position player before. But this is good because, you know, you never know when you're going to need another arm.
That's right.
It's nice of him to have one ready.
And probably the best part about the whole game was Rowdy Tellez acting like he'd been there 1,000 times before. Here's a little bit of it, Mr. Zombers, if you'd be so kind. Rowdy Tellez with the press after he gets a closeout, a shutout, ninth inning for the Brewers.
Rowdy, when was the last time you were on the mound?
Junior year of high school, and won the playoff games. Yeah, it didn't go too well, but Cy Young candidate now. So,
how does that conversation come about? Did you think you really had a shot at going out there and pitching tonight?
Yeah, I was actually walking up to get loose, thinking I was going to go in for Santana to play first, and Count's like, psst, you know, like poked my head back around the corner, and he goes, Can you throw strikes? I said, yes, absolutely. I took my sweatshirt off, my arm sleeve off, sorry, and I like ran upstairs, tried to find every lefty I could in here, found Wade. I was like, he doesn't use this glove. And ran back in.
I was going to ask who's the
That was in the seventh, so I was a little jacked, I was a little hyped up. So I sat on the bench, almost put my AirPods in to lock it in, but figured it's not good.
So any nerves out there?
Absolutely not.
No?
No. When you're elite at what you do, it's highest level of the game.
Roddy, did it strike you that, I mean, this is a postseason clinching game, and you just got, you're like in the highlight reel forever.
Absolutely not. That did not cross my mind once. I kind of, you know, when you go out in high leverage situations, you turn the page and you shut it down and lock it in. Great interview.
Do you want to give Wayne an assist?
You walked the guy, bro. It's not a game at a time.
You can go online and look this up. But I mean, it was one of the best post-game sports interviews I have ever seen.
You could tell once he got going, he knew. Once he was wound up, like, oh, this is what we're doing now. All right, here I am.
But I mean, come on. I watched a little bit of it. He was throwing like 58 mile per hour pitches and striking guys out because they weren't used to it.
That's right.
They're so used to 100 miles an hour.
See something like that. Right.
Yeah, right.
It looked like a Bugs Bunny cartoon where the guy, one, two, three strikes, you're out on one pitch, you know? But if you can't hit it, you can't hit it. And Rowdy gave him the, I was going to say the high heat. No, not really.
In the low heat, the simmer.
Low heat. Yeah, he gave them the simmer. So the simmer down now.
But how cool is it? I mean, it's an exciting year to be a Milwaukee Brewers fan. Of course, you can hear the Brewers all season long into the postseason on WISS over in Oshkosh, the big 1100 AM, and also on WRCE in Richland Center, AM 1450 and FM 107.7. Glad to have him, Pat. But what a great year for the Milwaukee Brewers.
It's been really good for that team, and I look at the Packers and frankly the Badgers all in that same way. There's some kind of relief that the expectations are high, but not way up here.
Right.
You know, you can be a little bit loose about it. We don't have to win the Super Bowl. We don't have to, you know, we can enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
And boy, that was a great ride having Rowdy at the front of the engine there for a little while. But yeah, hopefully they can clinch this thing at home tomorrow night, either with a win or a Cubs loss, and move into maybe taking on the Cubs in the first round, or whoever ends up getting that third wild card position. It's going to be an interesting two or three game series for the Brewers.
I think as you look towards the postseason, no matter what sport, right, but particularly baseball, you want to be peaking and playing your best baseball as you go into the playoffs. The Brewers, with a couple of those acquisitions,
seem to be doing that. Yes. I mean, you bring in Canna and some of these other folks who've just, you know, Santana's been another one of them that –
Sal Frelick? Holy cow.
You look, you put a lot of stock into your opening day roster, but you don't put all of the stock into it, you know?
Our best roster starts in the morning from 6 until 8. Our lead off the igniter, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News, every morning.
Aren't you sweet? Thanks again for coming up here.
Hey, we appreciate you, Pat. Make sure you join Pat every morning, 6 until 8. Make sure you join us in hour number 2. We'll take your phone calls and more. Don't go anywhere now. We are live from WCFW, the Tap, in beautiful Chippewa Falls, with Alamo, selling to the media.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.